Your password can be stolen if you don't have one. Is AI bull, the next boom, or the next bubble to burst? And credit card skimming has gone virtual? These stories and much more on today's episode of MSP Dispatch. Today's episode is brought to you by the Ultimate IT Growth Conference, coming June 13th and 14th in Orlando, Florida. This is a workshop-oriented conference so you can walk away getting things done. Pick up some of Jennifer Bleem's best hints, tips, and tricks to grow your MSP and mature the way you think about growth. To register or find out more, visit mspsalesrevolution.com/ultimate. Good morning and welcome to your June 6th episode of MSP Dispatch, your source for news, community events, and commentary in the MSP channel. I'm your guest host, Phil Buck, joined by yet another guest host, Matthew Fox. How's it going today, Matt?
Things are going well today, Phil. You know, it's Tuesday morning. We had WWDC's big announcements yesterday, which I think is really exciting for people, especially consumers. When it comes to Apple products, what's around the corner? Yes, it is their developers conference, but at the end of the day, I think it's a place where they get to show off all of the newest innovations, which typically end up in consumer electronics. And, you know, I think we're both significant Apple users. Is there anything in particular that you've been looking forward to?
You know, I'm a little peeved that they announced the new Mac Studio because I just picked up one. I'm not going to say just for this show for this network, but I mean, definitely was a consideration when I picked that up. Now, when I got to go trade it in and get a new one, I don't know. But the big one I've been seeing that they're really going to bat for this one is the this is just an earlier version, the new headset. Oh, Vision Pro. I mean,
I got one of those myself recently, and I think it's an earlier version because it's wireless, right? But it still has the dongle hanging off the side. But I can't wait to see where they go with this next. It's going to be amazing.
Yeah, some more iterations down the line, I'll probably, you know, be a little more excited about it. But
absolutely.
Yeah, I know they did really actually reveal the headset, which has been rumored for a while. Pretty exciting. What they're betting this is the next era of computing. They compared it to using a mouse on a personal computer. The iPhone with the multi-touch, they think that, you know, spatial computing, as they call it, they think this is the next big thing. No need for monitors, no need for controllers, keyboards, mice, any of that stuff. So we'll see.
Well, yeah, on one hand, I could see the excitement around that. On the other, I think that the two devices that I think you just mentioned, the mouse and what else did you mention? You mentioned the mouse.
Oh, just the iPhone.
The iPhone are things that have one of
them.
Lend themselves to tactile experiences where something like a headset actually sits between one of our major sensory organs and the rest of the world. So I'll be interested to see exactly what direction that goes in. I'm just happy they haven't followed suit with the iPhone from Futurama. If you remember, that was like an implant directly into your head to show ads.
They're leaving that to Elon Musk. He's going to be the one.
We're going to leave that to Elon Musk. And you know what I think Elon Musk's going to leave to us?
What's that, Matt?
The news?
Yeah, that's where I thought you were going.
Let's get to that.
In our first story from The Verge by Jess Weatherbed, Google trials passwordless login across workspace and cloud accounts. Support for Google's Passkey Open Beta is now rolling out to over 9 million organizations. This is a significant step toward a passwordless future, allowing organizations to sign into Google Workspace or Google Cloud accounts with a passkey instead of their usual passwords. Passkeys are a new form of passwordless sign-in tech developed by the FIDO Alliance, including industry giants like Google, Apple, Microsoft, and others. Passkeys allow users to log into websites and apps with their device's own authentication. They're based on public key cryptographic protocols, so there's no fixed sequence that can be stolen or leaked in phishing attacks. Support will need to be enabled by administrators. When disabled, users can still use passkeys for 2FA authentication. It's a step toward replacing passwords entirely, and that's a process that's going to take time. So, Matt, I mean, this is a big deal, and this is something that we've talked about on the show quite a bit in the past. I mean, we say 2FA, MFA, until the cows come home. And I think one of the big takeaways from all the security advice we constantly give on the show is that, you know, maybe we don't need passwords at all. Maybe the more security tight option is passwordless. What are your thoughts?
I think that passwordless options have been talked about for a very long time, and it's nice to see that some of the larger organizations are really getting behind building steam behind the idea. You know, I think that this is something we've talked about. I know that Mr. Tony Francisco is very passionate about this, and I agree. I think it's more difficult to have a password stolen if your password does not exist. Right. And schemes that are being put together, and I mean scheme in a good way, not a bad way, to replace your traditional password are getting interesting. I think that most people that watch us right now probably own a YubiKey or some other form of authentication device. And having something like that is invaluable, if you ask me. I mean, as a former IT professional, someone who's not, you know, practicing hands-on work on a regular basis, I can't tell you how many passwords I had to maintain and manage over the years for my own abilities to do my work, get into my own bank accounts, to everything that I think is connected to our daily lives at this point, because everything is connected to the internet or technology in some form. And to have a simplified way to prove who we are in a way that's much more complex to be forged or faked is something that I've been waiting for a very, very long time, and something that's got me very excited. What do you think?
Well, you know, as someone that's not an IT professional, this definitely appeals to me from the standpoint of, yes, I also probably have hundreds of passwords and accounts to keep up with, and knowing that that could be replaced by just a simple, you know, a dongle, a fob, whatever you call it, it's pretty exciting. But I also wonder, you know, the days of locking your keys in the car, is this something where I'm not going to be able to check my Gmail because I forgot my fob in the CRV out front and I can't get in because it also has my car key on it? I mean, it's
well,
is this,
I think,
the new hurdle?
I think that you solve that by having a Tesla that doesn't use keys.
Yeah, I like that.
Okay. So you got to buy a cell phone that works with your Tesla so that you can get rid of your passwords and then keep your YubiKey on your keychain. So now I think the only downfall here, the only real weakness, is how many authentication devices or tokens can you fit on a single keyring?
Is it like that? And am I going to be the janitor at the school with all my, you know, fobs hanging off the giant, like,
that may be ring. The case someday. We'll see. You know, history tends to repeat itself, and maybe this is one of those forms of repetition in the most bizarre way possible. If it is, if it isn't, I don't think it's relevant. I think what is that we appear to be making our first steps into a passwordless future, and I am all for that.
Right, yeah. Right. I totally agree. I think this is something we advocate for here at MSP Dispatch a lot. So to see it coming to fruition, it's a great future that we have to look forward to. And
it's a great future. I personally look forward to conversation around this topic and others that are similar to it, that are important to MSPs and other types of businesses that we love delivering news to. And one of the ways we love doing that is through our the server thing called? What it's going to make a sound as soon as I say it. Discord.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
Discord.
Get us
thank
up in
you.
The Discord. But speaking of the future, I mean, we have some stuff to look forward to. I don't know if it's going to be good or bad. It could be a bubble. It could be a bust. What do you have anything to say about that, Matt?
Let me chat with ChatGPT, and I'll be with you in just 2 seconds. And in my first story, the tech industry was deflating. Then came ChatGPT by Garrett DeVink for the Washington Post via MSN. Now, layoffs, the burst of the crypto bubble, falling stocks, and all of a sudden AI's boom. Since that's taken place, venture capital firms have been throwing money at AI startups, investing over $11 billion in May alone. Companies from Moderna to Heinz have mentioned AI initiatives on recent earnings calls. And just last week, AI chipmaker NVIDIA became one of a handful of companies to hit $1 trillion in value. This new AI gold rush, largely sparked by OpenAI's ChatGPT, is thanks to generative AI. Now, why? Because the improvement in quality was way more than expected. And that's leading to the startup ecosystem rebounding in a much more optimistic state than it's been as of late, at least for those focused on AI. Now, this optimism is in stark contrast to the continued layoffs that have rocked this industry for months. Now, AI is not going to change anything overnight, but this also makes it clear that it's not going away anytime soon. Now, given that you have two co-hosts today that are a little different from the norm, and one of us has a show about AI, I'm really looking forward to what Phil has to say about this.
Well, I appreciate that. Tony called me the Pope or something last time we talked about an AI thing on the show, so that was nice. But okay, so I'm going to pull a Ray roundabout way of talking about this one, because I have been thinking about this article, and you're going to say, how does this relate? But the MCU, Marvel movies, right? Well, let's take it all the way back to 2008, to the very first Marvel movie.
Mm-hmm.
It was Iron Man. And at that time, the box offices were suffering, much like this article is detailing. The tech industry was deflating, as they say. And, you know, that was the beginning of something where the box office really came roaring back. And a lot of that was at the hands of this, you know, Marvel MCUification of the movie industry. And, you know, I think that at first a lot of people really enjoyed that. It was a fun time. I mean, obviously, these are not great films or Kino, as my social media friends like to joke about. But nonetheless, it got people butts back in the theater seats, right? ChatGPT seems to be doing that. AI seems to be doing that, re-infusing a lot of the tech companies that are all pivoting to AI. And, you know, in some ways, yeah, I enjoyed the original Marvel movies and all that kind of stuff. But now I look at what's coming out and everything is MCU or comic book movies. I do feel like, you know, we're not there yet, but we're seeing the beginning of a bubble. And I think that we're going to look back at this year, much like we look back at 2008 with the Iron Man movie. It was fun at the time. But now you look back at, you know, 20 something Marvel movies and you're kind of like, it's just overwhelming. And I think we're seeing that right now with AI. It is going to be an infusion of new activity, of new capital, of new investments, of totally shifting the landscape of the tech industry. But the one of the points I really wanted to make in this conversation is that anybody like myself, probably you and a lot of people in the MSP audience, you know, if you've used these tools a lot, you know that they're not the most amazing thing, that the you know, it's the sizzle of the steak more than the actual meat itself, I think, is what we're seeing is getting everyone's attention. And so I could go on and on and on about this, as you can tell, but to wrap up my point, I think that we're just seeing the very first version of this, and that as we look back in 10 years from when the beginning of the AI boom came, I don't think we're going to see it's all that it's cracked up to be in a lot of the headlines and stuff. I mean, how do you feel about when I compare this to Marvel movies, Matt?
I can't tell you how many thoughts I have in my head right now. Number one, we haven't had an eyebrow-related reference in the episode yet, and I don't want to just blow up Tony all the time, so I'm just going to say, I feel like with the Marvel opinion just gave, I'm getting a little bit of a Martin Scorsese vibe off of you at the moment. And he does have his eyebrows. I don't know if they're on fleek or not, but they're definitely defined eyebrows. Two, I agree with you. I think that this is all new and exciting at the moment. And, you know, so was Iron Man when it came out. It was like the first Marvel movie that was really, truly enjoyable. Anyone that's around our age would remember some of the earlier ones, like the Dolph Lundgren version of The Punisher, which is a very obscure one, but that was incredibly rough. Then you come to Iron Man, and you have a polished product, something that's fun to watch and has stars that you look for in other movies. Was it Jeff Bridges?
Was the villain in that?
I mean, Jeff Bridges, come on. And that was exciting. And I do think that it injected a burst of energy into the cinema, you know, a B12 shot, if you will, wheatgrass, whatever is going to get you going. And I think that what we're seeing right now is very much the same for the IT industry. The injection of AI into areas that may have been slowing down or weren't as innovative as they have been in the past, all of a sudden got this boost. And it's great. That boost will last for a while. It's going to calm down, and it's ultimately going to become commonplace as things like this get integrated into our lives further and further. So yes, things were deflating. ChatGPT and generative AI came along. There was an explosion. And I think that it will calm back down. But I will say that I'm incredibly excited to see where things go next, in the short term at least. 10 years from now, we're going to look back at this and go, oh, that was great. That's cute. But right now, it's incredibly exciting to see where things go.
Yeah, absolutely. Because if you think about just a year ago, I mean, we've kind of recounted that even, you know, it's like, 9 months of this boom of AI-related activity. I can't imagine as I said on the last episode, I couldn't have imagined where we're at now, you know, 10 years ago. I don't know where we'll be in 10 years, but I do know that this is just Mickey Mouse stuff right now. This is
Mickey Mouse stuff. And in the grand scheme of things, I think we've been too optimistic and we have to get back into something security related.
You're right. Wow. This is a departure for MSP Dispatch. We need
security time.
And for our third story from bleepingcomputer.com by Bill Tulis, hackers hijack legitimate sites to host credit card stealer scripts. A new MageCard credit card stealing campaign hijacks legitimate sites to act as makeshift command and control servers to inject and hide skimmers on targeted e-commerce sites. A MageCard attack is when hackers breach online stores to inject malicious scripts that steal credit cards and other forms of personal information during checkout. According to Akamai's researchers monitoring the campaign, it has compromised organizations in the U.S., U.K., Australia, Brazil, Peru, and Estonia. The attackers first identify vulnerable sites and hack them to host their malicious code, using them as command and control servers for their attacks. Distributing skimmers using legitimate sites with good reputations, the threat actors evade detection and are freed from needing to set up their own infrastructure. Next, the attackers move to inject a small JS snippet into the target commerce sites that fetch the malicious code from the previously compromised sites. It's currently unclear how the sites are being breached, but based on previous campaigns, attackers typically look for vulnerabilities in established platforms such as Magento, WooCommerce, WordPress, Shopify, and more. The code that gets dropped is Base64 encoded and resembles markup for Google Tag Manager and Facebook's tracking pixel, making it tough to spot. Website owners can defend against MageCard infections by appropriately protecting their sites. Customers can minimize risk by using electronic payment methods, virtual cards, or setting low limits on their credit cards. Okay, so Matt, you wanted to induce some anxiety? Well, I would say this properly does it. I mean, for the MSPs out there, obviously, there's probably plenty of clients that they know using WordPress, namely, but Shopify, sure. I don't use these, but I've heard of WooCommerce as well. Mm-hmm. And as a consumer myself, I mean, this is a little stressful. And now I know that if I want to go buy something for my kids, my wife's birthday's coming up. If I'm buying from one of these smaller, you know, maybe artist owned sites or something, that there's more risk involved with these. What do you think people, the MSPs or the consumers can do, you know, to protect against all of this? Yeah.
Well, first of all, I think it's important that you noted that these are typically smaller e-commerce sites. These are not the Amazons and the Walmarts and the whatever the other big stores are of the moment. We're talking about sites that are typically run by small businesses here. As you noticed, they mentioned WooCommerce, WordPress, Shopify, all of which are tools used by smaller businesses and individual creators to be able to sell their wares online. These aren't the big shops. And I'll tell you, I did a little bit of shopping online over the weekend to get a couple of things, you know, keyboard parts and all the kinds of things I love. And I placed online orders with 2 Shopify-enabled stores. And, you know, that's something that happens on a regular basis. So when I read an article like this, I do get a bit concerned. We should always be concerned around security. But more importantly, we should really impress the importance of updates upon our audience. You know, security is something we talk about on a regular basis. And given that, and I don't know exactly what the numbers are because I don't keep terribly up to date on these days, but there was a time when like more than half of the web was run by WordPress essentially or powered by WordPress. And when a system, a platform such as WordPress or any other that's out there, Magento, WooCommerce, you name it, is that widespread and has a vulnerability that allows attackers to run an exploit like this, that is something that's deeply concerning and quite frankly prevents me from wanting to place orders with smaller retailers. And that's not good for our economy by any means.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. You know, we want to support our small businesses, but it's also important that small businesses make sure that their security is maintained to the best of their abilities. And, you know, having said that, I feel like I'm being critical, which I am, but at the same time, our lovely audience is the group that helps keep things like this secure. So it's important for them to know. And it's important for also to say thank you to people that do this type of work daily to make sure that the types of things we do, like online purchases for keyboard parts and what have you, are done in a secure manner.
So, I mean, this isn't that different than a credit card skimming it at the gas pump or something like that, right? I mean, just online.
Yeah, I mean, we can simplify it down to being very similar to that. We're doing what we think is a trusted transaction. You know, you go fill up your tank, you go to swipe your card at the gas pump, and you don't realize that there's that credit card skimmer that's between your card and the actual device. Your transaction goes through normally, someone else gets your information. All of a sudden you realize that when you start getting like fraud email alerts and other items. This isn't that different. This is just taking that concept from the physical world into the virtual. And I think a lot of things progress in that direction. And we all know what we need to do to help prevent ourselves from becoming a victim, or our infrastructure and sites that run e-commerce from becoming victims to an attack like this.
Yeah, I think the biggest takeaway is obviously for any MSPs out there, you know, you've heard the names of the platforms that are particularly vulnerable. So check the show notes for the article so you can actually see if any of the et cetera, as we say on there, might have something that you have a client running. But speaking of the show notes, I know that we've got a few more items. Should we jump into some notables?
I think it's notable time.
All right. Show notables.
Showtables. They're like Lunchables, but with news.
Nice.
In my first notable, Google's AI-powered search experience is way too slow, from Jay Peters of The Verge. Now, why do I want to wait for an AI-generated summary when I can scroll down the page? Google's always been known for its speed and simplicity from the very beginning, from the very first time we've seen it. And Google's new generative search experience, however, has loading animations, and that means things are taking time. For many of us who have opted into the experience, AI summaries show and are generally accurate, which is fantastic. The problem is that they often come with a bunch of extra stuff, as mentioned in the article, and that isn't as helpful as I think we expected it to be. According to the author of the article, SGE broke down at weird times, and this simply may be an area where we don't need AI's involvement. And in my next notable, Microsoft is finally putting Cortana on Windows out of its misery, by Hadley Simmons for Android Authority. Microsoft has recently announced it's killing off Cortana for Windows. Users are advised to switch to Bing Chat or other alternatives, including Windows 11 Voice Access and Windows Copilot. This news comes 2 years after Microsoft killed Cortana's mobile apps. Now, this doesn't mean Cortana is going to disappear completely. Microsoft does say that Cortana will still be available in the Outlook and Teams mobile apps, as well as Teams displays and rooms.
And in my notable for today, from Fox News by Kurt Knudsen, massive free VPN data breach exposes 360 million records. Cybersecurity researcher Jeremiah Fowler discovered and reported that over 360 million user data records have been leaked in a breach with the free VPN service SuperVPN. IP addresses, geolocation records, and references to visited websites and more were all leaked. This data breach was found when Fowler noticed that the developers listed on the SuperVPN app differed from one app store to the next. He then found a publicly exposed database linked with the app containing 133 gigabytes of data. SuperVPN is still available and its use is not recommended. Remember, folks, you get what you pay for.
And in this week's Resource of the Week, we have ITX 2023, a recent event that was put on by NinjaOne. Now, this was a fantastic event to watch when it happened live, and anyone that hasn't seen it, or anyone that has and wants to recap what has gone on in the event, not just the conversations and the learning experience, but the resources, can do so. And not only that, because it is a great resource, we also have Jonathan Crow, NinjaOne's Director of Content and Community, here with us today to give us a little more insight on what people can expect. Jonathan, welcome to Dispatch. Very quickly, it was great to finally meet you in person at MSP GeekCon a couple of weeks ago. I feel like that was years in the making, and here we are again. So without further ado, could you please give us a bit of an overview of what visitors to the ITX 2023 section of your website can find?
Absolutely. I was indeed a short human being, so you found that out in person. So that is a fact. Really good to see you. Good to see everyone at MSP GeekCon. And that was right after we hosted ITX, which was a virtual security summit. Like you said, really great to have a ton of attendees there, a really good lineup of speakers. And I don't know about you, but I mean, whenever I go to one of these things, we kind of realize, okay, yes, this is two full work days. Odds are not everyone's going to be able to catch everything live in the moment. And so we knew before we started, we wanted to make sure that we had these recorded and we're going to make them all available for folks after the fact. So if you go to that page, you will see all the sessions that you can go back and watch. And almost even more importantly, you can go and check out the slides. So you can download those, skip through things, and you can see links to cool resources. The security summit really followed a path of like, okay, let's look at what's going on now in terms of latest threats. And so we had Red Canary share the report. There's a link to that there. And then we went through workshops of, okay, what are actionable hardening steps people can be taking directly related to just what we just saw. And, you can actually download links to these things right now. I mean, one of the biggest takeaways, or pieces of feedback that we got that made me really happy was, we had folks saying, hey, specifically, there's a session about using Sysmon, and you guys provided kind of a walkthrough how to do that. We're deploying it this week. And so it was just really cool to see people. It's always good to have, you know, the presentations people are making, the lectures and stuff. But this was actually, here are things you can really use.
There's practical advice that was given out during this event, and it was done in a way that was truly entertaining. And I think that when you have something that's both entertaining and educational, it makes it so much easier to absorb the important things, the takeaways from it. And even if you weren't there to do that, you can now have essentially the same experience that what the 2,000 plus attendees of the event had. And I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, there isn't even a need to register.
That's right. Yeah. No. Okay. Yeah. We're not charging anything, certainly. And there's not even a form you need to fill out. So you don't even have to give us any information. Just go check it out. We think it's a lot of good info that our speakers were generous with their time. We want to be generous too. Go check it out. Watch what you want to. Go check out those resources. You can see, if you want to be entertained, you can see me eating taking the spicy chip challenge at one point and really suffering through it. So yeah, I think there's something for everyone.
That's fantastic. And I got to say a big thank you to you and your team for making such a great resource available without the need to register. I feel like here today on MSP Dispatch, we went passwordless and now we're going formless. Like, what's next? Boneless? I don't know.
Jonathan, the future is everything less. Thank you guys. MMN helped us produce the event. So I have to call that out and really thank you as well.
Thank you. Thank you. A lot of the thanks, of course, goes to Ray for heading up that initiative, but any area where we can help organizations better communicate to the community in ways that help everyone, we're always here for. So, thank you. Thank you so much for joining us today, Jonathan. And I look forward to talking to you again soon.
Thank you, sir. The future will not be foxless. We know that.
There are plenty of amazing upcoming events taking place across the community, so let's see what's happening this week. June 7th through the 8th, an in-person event, Channel Pro SMB Summit in San Jose, California. And also on June 8th, another in-person event, Kaseya plus Datto Connect IT Local in Toronto. And on June 9th at 12 p.m. Eastern Time, Channel Engage June, presented by The Channel Program. And coming from the MSP Media Network this week, we have, in case you missed it, 38 at 38, their anniversary special. On June 6th at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time, the Tech Bar and MSP Geek live meetup at IT Nation Secure. And as always, on Tuesdays and Fridays at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, MSP Dispatch, presented by the MSP Media Network.
Hey, I'm Powerhouse Ray.
And I'm Super Cousin Danny.
And we're the hosts of
The Tech Bar.
Pull up a stool with us every other Thursday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern for drinks, jokes, and games with your friends in the MSP channel.
So, how'd you like today's show? If you like it, please hit that thumbs up button. And if you weren't so much a fan of it, I challenge you to hit that button any odd number of times that you choose, 3, 5, 7, prime numbers, whatever it is. As long as it's odd, I say go for it. And if you want to hear more, go ahead and hit that subscribe button on YouTube or your favorite podcatcher. Now, did you know that we have a Discord where we post stories all week? You can propose your own stories and even vote on which we're going to cover on each episode of MSP Dispatch. There's a link right there. Thank you very much, Phil. And as Ray's friend, Rich Banky, says, now, I actually met him a couple of weeks ago. I shook his hand. He's a real person. As he says, make sure to tell a friend, please. Now, be sure to follow us on social media at MSP Media TV. And if you have any questions, you could always email us at news@MSPMediaTV for answers on the next episode. Or if you like to pick up the phone, leave us a voicemail at 833-MSP-NETWORK. That's 833-MSP-NETWORK. Hello?
Hey, I was trying to get the voicemail. Come on.
Oh, okay. I'll hang up. I got this. So yeah, Phil, today I think we had a lot of fun with this. I think that we delivered some worthwhile news. It was super, super great to have Jonathan Crowe join us for just a couple of moments to talk a little bit more about the ITX 2023. Now that it's a resource, the event has taken place, the recordings, the resources, everything that the team at Ninja put together is available for the community. And again, thank you everyone for doing that. That's something that's very much appreciated. How'd you feel about today, Phil?
Oh, I like this. I'm becoming a regular around here in just like a week or so. I don't know. You've been on the show a couple of times. I got my first debut about a week ago, and I'm already back. And Tony was saying, you know, like maybe a little bit of a coup. Are we taking over MSP Dispatch? I don't know if I can shoulder the weight of the full MSP Dispatch. I mean, we need the powerhouse Ray. We need Tony Francisco with the eyebrows on fleek.
We need Simon. Let's not forget Simon.
Yeah, shout out to times. In fact, most of the weight of the show is all on Simon's back. I mean, he's carrying the whole show. Sorry, Ray. Sorry, Tony. Let's just keep it real.
Is Atlas.
He is Atlas. No, actually, I miss all the guys. It is a pleasure to be on the show. MSPs, if you're watching this version of the show, let us know. How are we doing? Are we hanging in there with the guys? I mean, because, you know, they're really the ones that make it happen, but we're here, we're holding it down while they're at the IT Nation Secure.
ITNS, IT Nation Secure. They'll be back with us pretty soon. And right, I'd love to hear what everyone thinks about the non-technical or non-MSP kind of focused individual and the formerly hands-on IT director are doing with this, because we care about it and we want to do better. And that's, we do better when we hear from you and we get your feedback. Yeah. So with that said, I hope everyone out there has a great Tuesday, June 6th. I think I just got a delivery according to my Amazon Alexa. So it's time for us to go. Have a good one, folks.
Take care, everybody. Bye.
This has been a broadcast of the MSP Media Network.
Support will be neat.
And not only that, but I have Jonathan Crowe, the Director of Content and Community, with me here today to give us a little bit more of an in-depth understanding of exactly what we can see when we go to their site.
Thanks so much, Matt. I really appreciate you guys highlighting this as a resource. Like you said, back in May, we had this virtual event.
Oh my God, are you kidding me? It was virtual? Oh, damn. Just as Phil says, go with it.
Damn it.
No, I think everything we just did was a keeper. Maybe just start from right before you cursed, you know, so I don't have any dolphins. Can we just throw it back to the beginning of that conversation? Is that okay with you guys?
Absolutely. And in this week's resource of the week, we have Ninja. And in this week's bloopers. Now, this new AI gold rush, largely sparked by OpenAI's ChatGPT. Wow. Ooh. Wait, how do I make that sound like Tony? I can't do it. Sorry. The crowns. Anyway. Boat, yeah. Now, did you know that we have a Discord where we...
Hold on.